Welcome to the Connected Leaders Academy Virtual Conference, designed to reshape your vision of transformation. As we navigate the evolving business landscape, our speakers will unveil innovative strategies to manage and initiate change. Prepare to adapt, innovate, and lead, ensuring your role as a catalyst in this transformative era.
Have you ever had a moment when life finally went quiet? So quiet that you could hear a truth you didn't even know you'd been avoiding? It doesn't happen with fireworks or with crises. It doesn't storm in or even shout for your attention. It shows up in an ordinary moment, maybe while you're driving alone, or standing in the kitchen waiting for your coffee to brew, or even lying awake at night just staring at the ceiling. A moment so normal, it almost feels insignificant. And yet, something shifts. The noise fades, the distractions fall away, and from a place deep inside of you, a truth rises. Slowly, steadily, like it's been waiting for its turn to speak. And that's when the question comes. Quiet, but sharp enough to stop you mid-breath. The question of, how did I get here? It is in that moment that you look at your reflection and realize that the person staring back at you feels so unfamiliar. You see a version of yourself shaped more by survival than by purpose, more by wounds than by identity. You recognize that the life you are living and the choices you are making no longer match the dreams you once carried so confidently. You see the gap between who you are and who you imagined you would become. And the ache that rises in your chest is unmistakable. The hardest truth is that this realization rarely comes at the beginning of your story. By the time that you recognize you are lost, you usually have been wandering for years. You have been walking paths you did not consciously choose, and you're repeating cycles you did not fully understand. And you're carrying burdens that you were never meant to hold alone. My unraveling did not begin in adulthood. It did not begin with addiction. It did not begin with the broken relationships that people later judged from the outside. My unraveling began much earlier, long before I had words for what was happening, long before I understood boundaries. And long before I recognized that silence can be a powerful force. Although I grew up in church and knew Jesus from a very young age, and although I prayed the prayer of salvation with sincere childlike faith, I eventually learned something that few people teach you. Knowing God and knowing who you are in God, they're two different things. And that difference shaped every chapter that followed. When I was still a young girl in elementary school, my parents became close with two other families. One of those families had a son that was my age. He was someone I trusted, someone who was welcomed into our home, and someone who was believed to be safe without hesitation. But behind closed doors, when adults were not watching, he began touching me in ways that no child should ever experience. It happened quietly, secretly, and repeatedly. It continued for years. I had years of confusion, years of fear disguised as silence, and years of shame that I had absolutely no ability to process. As a child, I lacked the language to describe what was happening. and I lacked the emotional tools to understand its impact. What I did not know then is that trauma does not simply hurt you. It teaches you things about yourself. And the lessons trauma teaches are almost always lies. During those painful years, a seed of false identity was planted in my heart, and it continued to grow long after the abuse stopped. When I finally told my parents in my early teenage years, the physical abuse ended immediately, but the emotional wounds had already taken residence deep inside of me. The distortion of my identity lingered, shaping the way that I saw myself, the way I interpreted love, and the way that I allowed others to treat me. When your first experience of love feels like exploitation, your heart begins to believe that love and harm are inseparable. When your introduction to touch feels like violation, you begin to associate intimacy with fear. When your first understanding of connection resembles betrayal, you lose trust in your own instincts. Although I did not have the words for it then, I adopted beliefs that followed me well into my adulthood. I believed my body existed for other people's use. I believed that my voice held no authority. I believed my needs were less important than keeping the peace. And I believed discomfort was something I had to endure quietly. I believed boundaries were optional. That one childhood wound became the lens through which I interpreted every single relationship that followed. And without ever intending for it to happen, it actually shaped the direction of my entire life. By the time I reached high school, rebellion had become my primary coping mechanism. I pushed boundaries, not because I wanted to be reckless, but because the internal turmoil felt suffocating. Sneaking out, chasing distractions, and searching for anything that felt like freedom became my way of escaping the heaviness inside of my own mind. At the age of 17, I met Ryan. He radiated confidence and excitement. He made me feel seen in ways that I had never experienced. To a broken heart that's searching for worth, attention feels like affection, and affection feels like value. Chaos feels familiar when chaos is all you ever have known. Before long, I was sneaking out almost every night just to be with him. When my parents grounded me, I reacted the only way I knew how to at that point in my life. I ran. I moved out at 18, convinced that independence would heal the emptiness that I carried. But identity wounds do not disappear just because you relocate. They follow you because they live within you. Shortly after turning 18, I discovered I was pregnant. That moment shattered every illusion I had built around control and maturity. I moved back home, a scared teenager carrying a child and carrying shame that never belonged to me. When my daughter Michelle was born, her arrival brought beauty and redemption into my life. Yet even in the sacredness of motherhood, my identity wounds remained. They became more visible, more urgent, because I was no longer just responsible for myself. I was raising a child while still feeling lost, and the weight of that reality was so overwhelming. I loved my daughter fiercely, but I still did not know who I was. And without identity, survival becomes your default mode. After some time, I moved back out again with Ryan, hoping that stability might finally become a possibility. Instead, manipulation intensified. He stole from me, cheated, and disappeared whenever he wanted to. each time that he pulled away, I worked harder to win him back because I believed my worth depended on his validation. Eventually, I left Ryan, but the loneliness that followed pushed me toward another unhealthy relationship. That is when I met Billy. From the beginning, I noticed the red flags, the drinking, the validity, the unpredictable anger. But brokenness recognizes brokenness. And I mistook familiarity for connection. Our relationship quickly spiraled into an environment of fear. Arguments escalated into control. Control turned into physical violence. And violence became a daily reality. I was dragged from a car by my hair. Bruises marked my face and my body. And my daughter's cries for him to stop, they pierced my heart with a pain that I can still remember so vividly. Trauma no longer lived in isolated moments. It became the air that I breathed. Billy's hold over me tightened even more after my kids and I briefly fled to Europe so we could escape him. But when I returned back to the United States, I fell back into the same cycle with him because I still had not healed, and the wounds that kept drawing me back allowed a lot more pain into my life. But eventually, something shifted. After years of surviving his abuse, I reached a breaking point that was impossible to ignore. The police were coming to our house regularly. Each visit was a reminder that my life was at risk. I saw the fear in my children's eyes. I felt the exhaustion in my body. And one night, after another very violent episode, I looked at my reflection, not physically, not spiritually, but I knew I had to choose between staying in a cycle of destruction or fighting for a future that protected my children and myself. Leaving Billy became an act of survival. I packed up my children and moved a couple states away so I could live with my parents. That move represented more than physical distance. It represented escape, safety, and the first real opportunity to breathe again. I lived with my parents for an entire year. It was a season of both rest and reckoning. It was during that season that I met Jerry, a man who seemed gentler and more stable than the men before him. But even then, my identity wounds were still unhealed, and they continued to influence my choices. At first, Jerry felt like a safe space. Compared to the emotional chaos that I had survived, his presence felt steady and reassuring. And after living in such stormy environments, even a whisper of calm felt like a promise of healing. But patterns don't change just because people do. My loneliness turned into attachment. Attachment turned into dependency, and dependency turns into cycles of disappointment. Arguments emerged, followed by periods of reconciliation. The fear of being alone kept me returning time after time. And eventually, drugs became part of our story. First, it was marijuana. Then it was cocaine. I watched myself become a version of me that I never imagined. I used substances so I could numb the pain that I refused to confront. I continued ignoring my own boundaries. The chaos consumed both of us. And when Jerry and I were married, I hoped that commitment might save us. Instead, everything continued to collapse. His addiction to meth and cocaine and porn intensified. His business failed, the bills piled up, and then eviction notices arrived. I moved back in with my parents once again, a few states away. I was heartbroken, ashamed, exhausted. And I was carrying a shattered sense of identity. The final blow came from Jerry when I discovered a video of him with another woman that he accidentally sent to me. In that moment, something inside of me finally broke free. Our marriage was over, and although the ending was painful, it was also the beginning of a spiritual awakening. There is only so long that you can run from yourself before you collapse under the weight of your own pain. After years of trauma, betrayal, instability, addiction, spiritual emptiness, and identity confusion, I reached the moment that every deeply wounded person eventually faces. I whispered to myself, I can't live like this anymore. It wasn't loud. It wasn't angry. It wasn't performed for anyone else. It was that quiet admission of a woman who had reached the end of her own strength. Sometimes God allows you to reach rock bottom not to punish you, but to position you for rescue. I had exhausted every single option and every strategy except for the one that I needed most. That was the moment that God met me. That was the moment everything began to change. Rock bottom became the foundation where God started rebuilding my identity. Now, before I walk you through the steps that saved my life, I want you to understand something very important. Every chapter of my story, the abuse, the rebellion, the relationships, the violence, the addiction, and the brokenness was pointing to one deeper truth. My behaviors were symptoms, and my identity was the wound. And that is why healing had to begin with who I believed I was, not with what I did. And these five steps did not simply restore me, they refined me. Step one, surrendering the illusion of control. For years, I lived under the belief that I could just try harder, be stronger, or pretend better, and that everything would eventually fall into place. I believed that being the peacekeeper, the caretaker, and the survivor made me so strong. I believed control was the only way to avoid pain. But control was the very thing keeping me chained to my brokenness. The true moment of surrender came after Jerry and I separated. I moved in with my parents, but instead of feeling safe, I felt overwhelmingly alone. Each night I cried in my room, and I felt the weight of every single decision, every wound, every trauma just pressing into me. One night, as tears were streaming down my face, I realized that no level of self-help, no relationship, no distraction, and no coping mechanism could heal the loneliness that I was carrying. In that moment, I whispered the most honest prayer that I had ever prayed. God, I can't do this without you. Surrender was not a weakness. It was actually strength. It was the moment I acknowledged that I needed a savior, not a strategy. It was the moment I opened the door for transformation. Step number two, rededicating my life to God. My rededication to God was not a single moment. It was actually a revelation woven into the scriptures that I was reading. In Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep became my story. I was the one who wandered far from safety, yet God pursued me relentlessly. He didn't wait for me to clean myself up. He left the 99 sheep to find me. The verse Romans 8:28, that is anchored It has anchored me with the truth that God works all things together for good. Not some things, not the convenient things, but all things, including the ones that I was ashamed of. And the story of the Samaritan woman at the well, that reminded me that Jesus meets us in the places that we hide. He speaks to the parts of us that we're afraid to reveal. He names our wounds without condemning us. Her story became my story, marked by redemption, identity, and calling. This rededication, it wasn't just emotional. It was foundational. I returned to scripture, prayer, community, and worship, and I invited God into the darkest places of my life. And he responded with compassion, clarity, and truth. Step number 3, healing my patterns, not just my pain. Pain is loud, but patterns are subtle. Healing required me to confront not just what hurt me, but how I responded to that hurt. I recognized patterns of alcohol abuse, THC use, and sex before marriage, patterns that were rooted in loneliness, insecurity, and a desire for validation. These behaviors weren't random. They were attempts to soothe the parts of me that still carry childhood wounds. So I had to ask myself the difficult questions. Why did I keep choosing emotionally unavailable or unsafe partners? Why did chaos feel like home? Why did I silence my own needs? And why did I confuse attention with love? Healing required honesty, and honesty required courage. Step number 4, building new habits, new environments, and a new identity. Healing is not just spiritual, it is practical, and it's daily. So I began establishing habits that are aligned with the woman that God was calling me to become. I created routines rooted in spiritual health and emotional stability. I prayed. I read my Bible. I attended church consistently. I journaled to process my emotions. Every single habit became a brick in the foundation of my new identity. Step number 5. From the ashes of every painful chapter, God began planting seeds of purpose. So when you discover your purpose, you're able to be redeemed. At first, I didn't understand how my story could ever be used for anything but good. But slowly, God revealed the truth. The very places where I felt the most broken would become the places where I carried the most authority. The Lord gave me a business called Across the Horizon Travel. And it was not just a business, it was a calling for me. It became an opportunity to give others what I had desperately needed during the darkest seasons of my life. Through my business, I discovered that my purpose wasn't hidden behind perfection. It was birthed from redemption. So my story didn't end in trauma, addiction, broken relationships, or identity confusion. It ended and it began with God rewriting every chapter. So I want to ask you, where do you see yourself in my story? Are you the version of me that was wounded at a young age? Or maybe the version of me that stayed too long in environments that were breaking you? Here's the truth. You are not too lost for God to find. You are not too broken. You are not too far for God to redeem. If he can rewrite my story, he can rewrite yours too. Thank you.
Thank you for participating in today's enlightening session as we transition to our next expert. Remember that each strategy and insight is a step toward becoming a transformative leader in your field. Visit ConnectedLeadersAcademy.com to stay engaged and informed. The journey of change is ongoing. Let's move forward together.